The morning wake-up continues with Dave Ackerley. Good morning, everybody. Great to have you aboard today and every day here on 1320 WILS. You know, the number out there seems to be 21. I'm struck by the opposites here. When you see a 21-year-old go out and win the U.S. Open and become momentarily the most celebrated golfer on the planet. And of course, I'm talking about Jordan Spieth. And yet within, 72 hours prior to that, you had a person being arrested, Dylan Roof, in South Carolina, also 21 years of age. And right now you would consider him one of the most reviled young men on the planet for allegedly, of course, opening fire and shooting 9 people, all of them black. He, of course, guided by white supremacy and acting as a bit of a, if you will, a lone wolf. So what about these lone wolf attacks, whether they're perpetrated by someone like him for white supremacist standards, whether they're by a Muslim gunman, which we've seen for the Fort Hood incident. Is there any way to stop them? Is there a way to prevent them? Are we entirely at their mercy? Is that just what you have when you live in a free society? Joining us this morning to discuss, global security expert, president of Erase Enterprises, is Kevin Mallott. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Well, okay, so I just drew the line there. Is there anything we could do? If you say no, I guess we just move on, but I'm hoping that it isn't a blanket no and that maybe there are some qualifications.
Yeah, I think there's actually a lot of things we can do. And first of all, we have to back up on the lone wolf and break down the motivating factors. And there are lone wolves that carry out attacks for ideology, mm-hmm. for religious purposes, for financial gain, for revenge. You know, so you have to understand there are different motivating factors. Now, the ones that I think we're talking about now, the in the eyes of the public, are the most evil, are these individuals that go into a movie theater or a grade school or a church and just start killing innocent people. Well, if we look at the church scenario, overseas, internationally, they've been blowing up mosques and synagogues and temples and churches forever. I mean, this is not a new thing in the world, sad as it is. Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., it's becoming, number one, we have much better media coverage, so we all learn about things very quickly from even areas that might be more remote. But the thing is, it's becoming more apparent to us that we have a problem and that we have individuals that are younger, that are lost, having mental health issues, drug issues, feeling disenfranchised, and then going out and carrying evil acts. So the two aspects of what we can do about it. One, tactically, we can protect any location. I mean, I can protect any church or house of worship if the congregation is willing to spend the money, and then they can live with the change of environment. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is a house of worship is supposed to be open for lost souls. Mm-hmm. And if you put cameras on the front of a building or uniform people at the entrance, the guy who got out of jail last week and has got an alcohol or drug problem and is seeking help is not necessarily going to feel comfortable being judged going through the cameras, screening, or the guys in uniform.
Very true. Yeah, you're right.
That's only a question that can be answered by the local clergy and their congregation. But at the same point, how exposed should they be to carry out their job to the public? And that's something, again, it's back to the theology. Can we protect them? Yes. There are passive and active security systems ranging from ballistic panels for the podium where the minister or the pastor speaks from to the idea of having, a security checkpoint coming into the building, et cetera. But it takes money away from their primary mission and it changes their environment.
Well, and Kevin, this is the religious version of where we were after 9/11 with travel. Yes, we can make it much safer and we can ensure X, Y, and Z, but what are you willing to give up in the process? And then it is a process of what are you willing to let be done and what are you willing to give up? And does that compromise what your core mission is or does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And we really have to keep in mind, as much as, here you and I are with the media talking about the issue, there were millions and millions of people that went to a house of worship last week and didn't kill anybody.
Right.
And so, it's kind of like there's 40,000 plus that die in auto accidents every year on the highway. But if we have an accident on video with 5 or 6 fatalities, that becomes the accident we focus on. And they're all sad, and I feel terrible for the families that lost loved ones. But we also, the churches and the synagogues and mosques have to get a handle on not taking themselves off their primary mission in lieu of these tragic events that happen every so often. And like I said, keep in mind, they've been blowing up mosques in the Middle East forever. Since the beginning of mankind, people have persecuted those that have practicing religion. So we've got to kind of look at it in the big picture that way. But back to the U.S., on the strategic side of the problem, I think we need to really step back and look at what we're doing to our society in general. Right now, if you're a young person growing up, the teachers aren't allowed to discipline you. Your neighbors can't discipline you. Anybody who talks to anybody about something you're doing bad is considered a rat. And even the parents aren't watching their own kids. When I grew up, if I did something stupid, my teachers called me on it. My neighbors did. My parents did. And if the cops showed up, well, I wish I'd gotten caught by my parents. But today, we've seen the last 90 days, even where parents are saying it's okay for their kids to not listen to the police. If you teach young children all the way up through their 20s that there's no authority over them, they have no self-accountability, there's no self-discipline, they're the only focus of the entire world, nobody else counts. If you teach that to kids, you can't be surprised that they fall through these cracks.
Mm. Kevin, do you think there is there's any easy answer to that end of the problem too? Because that's a bigger cultural kettle of fish.
Yeah, the same people complaining about them falling through the net are the ones that yanked out the safety net.
Yeah. All right, Kevin Mellott is a global security expert. He's the president of Erase Enterprises, and we always appreciate his viewpoint here when it comes to security issues. And, of course, as he says, he can make a church very secure, but at that church, is that exactly what you want? To do that, you're going to give up some things, and maybe that feeling of it being sanctuary, of it being a safe space for people to come in and not feel like they're going to be, pardon the pun, under the gun, just walking through the door. It can be done, but at what cost? And it's a good question to ask. More coming up here on The Morning Wake Up. This is 1320 WILS.